Aha, there we go. We are live now. We are definitely live now. Welcome. Welcome back to the show. So we're a couple of minutes late. We're just doing some additional audio balancing, so we're not too quiet or blowing your ears out. We've got a few things queued up for you guys this week. Doing some additional audio balancing. And as always, welcome. Welcome to our Friday stream. We seem to be doing rather consistently. We're having at least one a week. I'm trying to figure out if this will be Thursday or Friday. I'm actually kind of leaning towards Thursday as a regular day.
We said Thursday. Always, Thursday was going to be it, and it seems to have been Friday ever since every time. But yes.
Well, yesterday, blame Dev. There was some confusion about Dev. He said we were going to do a dump. I said, is it live? He said, yeah. And then he said it was recording, and then we didn't end up doing it. And so I kind of put Thursday aside to try and get some content on the Short Fat Attacker channel, which didn't end up happening. Hopefully will happen at some point over the weekend. I'm sorry, guys. I talked about it on Seal of Approval on Wednesday, and I was really hoping to have it going, but it just didn't happen. So, yeah, at least we have our regular stream now. A lot of people talk about, you know, we talked about it last week, Academic Agent, and streaming across from people. I'm thinking Thursday is the better day, but we're going to have to be fluid with it. It's going to happen when it happens. It's going to be Thursday or Friday. You just have to watch out for it. It will always be at 9 p.m. We will always put out the warning about 2 hours later at 7 p.m. UK time. But as always, I'm the Starman, and this is my co-host, and as I keep calling him, the Frame Pusher.
The Frame Pusher. Yes.
Trigger Hippie.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Yeah, no, yes, we're here, and we're pushing out decent frame rates. Hopefully, this time we won't have Discord taking a shit on me halfway through the middle of the stream and causing confusion.
Didn't happen last time, so don't jinx it.
I'm not. I'm not. I'm saying nothing, but yes, Discord has been manky for me of late. Hopefully, whilst the stream's good and everything in good condition, great.
But, welcome to the crab zone.
Welcome to the crab zone.
No. This week we put an overarching title on this called All Hail the New Boot, which I shamelessly stole from my girlfriend. I think it's a great phrase. Again, it will have some flavors of the Infinite Crab Bucket about this. We're going to be going over some slightly similar ground from a different angle here. But largely we're going to be talking about Boris and the Boris betrayal. Oh. And the fact that he is the new boot everybody has hailed.
The new boot indeed. In fact, we have a better scene for this than the one we're at. Let's find the Boris picture. Yeah. I know I had it. I got it here somewhere. I've got everything set up. And then the moment we go live, I turn into a total spaz. Total
no,
spaz.
It's fine. We've got all this shit queued up. It might be in a different scene there, Trig, eh?
It is on a... you know what? I thought I was going to be smart. I was going to be clever with the whole thing and actually just frame things up nicely. And I have done. I just forgot where I put it. So there we go. Oh, that's actually not framed up as nicely as I'd like it. Let's see if we can...
It's fine.
The lines don't match. Can't take it.
Ah, dang it.
That's even worse.
You could always just put it full screen, you know. You see, I make all these things. I go into graphic design mode. No, that's dear me.
Okay, we can fix this.
we have some slight boomerism this week. Some slight boomerishness, but we do have at least some stream resources. At least it's not webcam news article, you know, view something. But yeah, no, we are going to be talking about Boris here and the expectation versus the rather disappointing reality of what we've got with this horrendous Tory government.
Everyone says
we're doing blackpilling streams.
Are we doing blackpilling? I don't think we're doing blackpilling streams. We've had some really heavy shit coming up from the government for the last couple of weeks, and I really don't want it to be blackpilling. I think that's the wrong way of viewing what we're trying to do. Let's look at some of the shit that's going off, and whilst all this COVID nonsense has been cracking off, behind the scenes, shit has been going off that is quite bad, without a doubt. But, you know, Being aware of it is part of the battle. I'd rather this is essentially like somebody kicking off back in, what was it, 2003, when the Digital Communications Act was going off, kicking off before it, rather than us all having to sort of march around going, you know, don't put Dankula in jail because he only did a crappy video.
Yeah.
We're just ahead of the game here on this one. People will be moaning about this shit in the near and not too distant future, going, why didn't people say anything? Well, we're trying to. But we're not trying to blackpill anyone. This is just normal government shit doing normal government shit. There's nothing out of the ordinary. Governments always overreach. Governments always try to grasp for the power. Just this one's been really fucking bad this year. It really has. I mean, we voted in a Tory government in a landslide. And they've had all the power they could possibly want from that mandate. And all they've done is bring in socialist crap.
They have done it. It's been amazing that... we can go through it as well. We've got a lot of other shit to cover here, but we'll first we'll go over the image here, really, like what people expected from Boris Johnson, the signals he was putting out, and kind of from a subjective point of view, I suppose, like why I think people really voted for Boris and what I think they're expecting from him. Because there's a reason that the red wall, as they call it in the North, crumbled, that Labour, you know, would completely destroyed in the election. And the Conservatives got a historic majority, you know, what is it, the worst for 70 years in terms of Labour votes and Labour seats. But everybody really wanted Brexit to happen. That was the big thing.
That was
the real meat of this election.
It wasn't just that. We demanded it. When Bolsover flipped. And went from being a Labour... Bolsover had been Labour for like 100 years. And Bolsover is a little North Nottinghamshire sort of district that has been basically a mining town forever. And to get that to flip for Tories was, you know, this is unheard of. Not even, you know, anybody has done this. Ever in like 100 years at least. And Boris did this. Boris got a huge mandate, and he's basically sort of went, oh yes, I've earned your vote, and I don't want to betray that vote. Now here's some lard, now bend over. Essentially.
Basically, yeah. It's been a case of that it was a bad idea. In hindsight, it was a bad idea, but at the time he looked so much better than the outgoing administration, looked so much better than Theresa May. He looked so much better than Jeremy Corbyn, especially. He was his competition. It looked like we'd essentially, you know, got our Trump to a lesser degree. I know he was an insider politician. I did warn people about that. I warned people about his immigration stuff. But to a lot of people, especially here in the North of England, who didn't really know much about Boris beforehand, it looked like we got our Trump, our Britain first kind of nationalist. We'd got our British exceptionalism and national pride. At least we got that back. At least we had someone who was a cheerleader for the UK.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like when it came in.
And to be fair, up until now, Boris has always been fulfilled a lot of those figures. I used to compare him to his. Compare is the wrong word, but yeah, I have likened him to Churchill and people like that he has the same sort of characteristics about him and has that potential for being a good leader. He has unfortunately displayed all of the worst parts of Churchill as a leader, which is seems to be under the thumb of powers beyond our ken, and has on a number of occasions, you know, mentioned how his handlers don't like him saying this, but...
Oh, the shit about his handlers is so concerning. Oh, before I forget, I also just wanted to mention, you probably saw it pop up there. We do have a Streamlabs. There was a donation there. We will be reading them out at intervals as we move on from topics throughout the stream. I'll put the link in chat here for people who, you know... I know it's difficult sometimes to fish stuff out of a description. So yeah, just a little bit of a shill there about the fact that we do have an open Streamlabs. You will pop up on screen, and we will be reading all the donations, at least by the end of the stream. Hopefully, we do tend to do them every 20 to 30 minutes, so you shouldn't have to wait too long. Mm. But it really was that spirit of Churchill, you're right.
You're right, yeah. He'd got the wherewithal. You only need to stick a cigar in his hand and a bowler hat on, and he even looks the part. He had all the right stuff. The whole him ziplining down, waving the flags. Boris was he's always been a good ambassador for England, and then he's had power given to him, and he has bollocksed it up royally. I mean, I personally think, I know I've mentioned this to you, I said when he had COVID, he came out from having COVID, he looked haggard, and suddenly everything changed for him. Now, slap my
We're
tinfoil
getting
hat on, but
a
yeah,
little ahead of ourselves there. We'll talk about that in a little bit because I
let's
want to
go.
go over his almost road to Damascus conversion to
Yeah.
being a fucking globalist tool. But let's again. I want to go. Immigration reform was one of the big things. Again, we'll get to that later. I sent you a link. I'm sure you've got that picture that I sent you about what's happened to immigration under the Tory government.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look somewhere.
It's fucking appalling what's happened in the Tory government. But yeah, he promised immigration reform. There was a lot of stuff about the nanny state, wet Tories, a return to national pride, a return to national kind of common sense politics. There was an expectation and a hope of more examination of, the involvement of Islam in the UK and the grooming gang scandals and just a core return to British values. That is what people expected from Boris. But I don't know. Throw a fucking dart. What did we get? Because we've got so many links open. We've got so many things to cover here. Oh, good Lord. What do you want to go over first, Trickman?
Let's start with, where is that link you sent me? I'm just looking
It's
through.
the Migration Statistics Quarterly Report. There's two graphs there.
Where
It's just above the.
where? I'm trying to find that in our links. It was in general.
No, it's in the links. It's above the where it says like Stasi. There's two graphs of net migration.
Oh, those ones. Right. Yeah, sorry.
Yes,
I hadn't
yes.
scrolled up far enough. My bad. Okay, let's open
There
that.
are a lot of links here. There's a lot of stuff to cover, like I said. It starts way further up. But if you go right to the top, do you want to cover the Charles Walker thing, because a lot of people have requested that from us.
Okay.
The MP who witnessed the arrest. We'll just kind of go top down on this one then.
Okay, let's start at the top. Rory, good God, there's an awful lot now. I'm looking at it. You
Like I said, there is a huge.
snuck load in here. Okay, right. I need to cue some of these up. Oh God, this elderly protester bundled into the back of a police van outside Parliament. That's a disgrace.
Do you wanna get that one up
I
then?
am going to
In
cue this
terms,
one up. Let's bang this one in there, and
because there's also the reaction from the MP, which I think was quite admirable. I think in seeing this, Conservative MP Charles Walker, it's different to hear about it than to see it. I think he had a very human reaction to it, as we'll see, which I think was, the good thing to do, as a politician, because often politicians can behave like absolute fucking robot people. Yeah, you're seeing it now. That's the Twitter video there.
yeah.
It's they quite literally carried an elderly protester, and he witnessed the whole incident. You'll probably hear him being pretty apoplectic there. He was not happy about this, and rightly so. As the press stand around like fucking vultures, doing nothing and taking pictures. it's quite incredible what's happened outside Downing Street.
That's outrageous. I hadn't
It
seen
is
this. It's
outrageous.
absolutely disgraceful.
It is. It's so blatant as well. As you'll hear in his statement, he said that he witnessed. They were literally just. They were a protester. They were an anti-lockdown protester, and they were protesting peacefully in front of the House of Parliament. They weren't someone who was a rioter. They weren't spitting at people. They weren't attacking people. It's an old person holding a sign. That's what he saw, and he saw the protester, and as he walked up, they started to arrest them, and he was in absolute disbelief that this can happen in the UK. I don't know. Do you want to get his statement up as well there?
His statement to the House of Commons about this.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's just mute that.
Because I was trying not to
And
talk over that one. Just let me know when you actually put it up
I
on.
am putting it up. I let's hit play now.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I have just witnessed an elderly lady peacefully protesting with a handful of other people be arrested and carried spread eagle to a police van just outside the precinct of the House of Commons. This is a disgrace. This is un-British. It is unconstitutional. And this government, our Prime Minister, needs to end these injustices now. Madam Deputy Speaker, will you bring the Prime Minister and or the Home Secretary here today to sort this out? She was an old lady robbed of her dignity for having the courage to protest about having her fundamental rights and those of my constituents and others removed.
Charles Walker.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I have just witnessed an elderly lady peacefully
Well done him. Absolutely well done him. And I want to know whether or not they actually managed to bring this to light to the Prime Minister and whether he does anything. Because quite frankly, the way the police have been acting this year in England over COVID is absolutely appalling. And I've seen worse, sadly.
I think we all have seen worse. We've all seen, we saw the footage of that person being told to go back in their house in the front garden during lockdown one, you know, the prequel lockdown. He asked a question of the speaker. Their response was a bit weak. There's a longer clip. I don't want to make it too long. Instruct the flow of the stream too much, but the problem is he can get angry in Parliament, but maybe this will get raised, but it's quite unlikely. There's been a lot of threats of rebellion from MPs over this. It seems like the government is just ostriching. At best, they're just ostriching this and hoping it goes away. At worst, they are actively going along with the suppression and trying to misdirect people from ever seeing this. It's rather appalling, I agree with you. But the it explains the title of the stream here. It's really what happened. Boris Johnson got elected, people celebrated, and it really was just, unfortunately, a case of all hail the new boot. Yeah. We got rid of Theresa Ray, we got rid of what we thought was the old wet Tories. We avoided a Jeremy Corbyn, John McDonnell, essentially communist government. And oh no, all we got was a different boot with a different rosette on it. I don't know if you have that image as well.
I do have that image. Let me see if I can can pull that up. Oh god, what have I done with it? There we go.
This is a very good example of this phenomenon, though, that we thought we voted for one thing, and we really just heralded in another thing.
Do we want the Ben Garrison original, or because this is what it is, isn't it? Ben Garrison has 10 years.
No, we'll get a par version of it first.
Get a par version.
We'll show that I basically just ripped this idea off. We basically just ripped this idea from a Ben Garrison cartoon of all things, because Ben Garrison these days has got very, very, I don't know, he's always been quite boomerish, but I honestly think that the one we're going to show later is one of his better ones. One of his better unironic ones, at least. There's some of them that are funny just for the absolute meme of it.
Ben Garrison cartoons. Yeah, Ben Garrison cartoons are excellent. I don't know what you're talking about. Meme of it.
Oh, yes. What I like about Ben Garrison, let's go off on too much of you know what, I'll talk about it when we actually see the cartoon, because I like kind of the pipeline he's gone down. The fact that he's kind of evolved into the audience he used to hate.
You know what? Actually, we're going to be better off doing that in the full thing.
The full screen. Yes.
Let's do it full screen. Let's browse. Where are you? Come back here. Sorry, my idea of having a load of folder structure so I'd be able to find everything easier, I've managed to make it more complicated.
Oh dear.
It's okay. I will. We had too much stuff created last time that has cluttered things up. I will tidy that up. But there we go. Yeah, there's the new.
Put it in an old folder. Yeah, it's essentially it really is. It's a choice between a red boot and a blue boot. And we have to pick which boot stomps on us.
Yep.
I can see why people say this is a blackpilling stream. But no, the thing is now, at least people can see it. Like, I keep telling people that,
If we
here's why the... Sorry, go on, Trick.
If we'd had people shouting about this sort of crap when it was happening 20 years ago. Yeah, literally 20 years ago and beyond, people were shouting about it. We didn't have the chance to shout about it in the way we do now. And yes, it's blackpilling, I guess. I don't like the look of it like that. It's just forewarned is forearmed. And the sooner we do something about it and know something about it, the better. And don't be blackpilled, you know. As I've said, as long as there's air in your lungs and blood pumping around your veins, they haven't beaten you yet. And freedom / liberty always has a chance as long as the idea itself exists. But, you know your enemy. And we will, yeah. You don't have to take it. We could always vote somebody else in, and if the voting doesn't work, we'll find a third option.
We're not gonna take it. No. It is true. I think a lot more people are seeing this, though. It seems obvious now, but even 10 years ago, a lot of people were like, oh no, vote conservative, it'll make a big difference, you know? You know, we have to vote for David Cameron, we have to get rid of, you know, Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown was fucking miserable, I agree.
Gordon Brown was beyond miserable. Yeah, I mean, this is it. But we constantly get a choice of, you know, gigantic shit and douchebag. I mean, literally the South Park meme coming back again.
Yeah, it is like the South Park meme.
And yeah, you've got one person that's absolutely terrible and somebody that is only just slightly less absolutely terrible. And it's our job to work out which is the biggest shitbag of the two and vote for the other one. There's got to be another option. And, you know, the fact that Donald Trump appeared in America is hilarious. I was looking the other day, who in England would fit the Donald Trump bill? You know, who is a rich industrialist sort of type character, self-made, almost impossible to bribe, and loves his country. I was going through it, and I can't find one. I think we came down to two in total, which was Sir Alan Sugar, who, no thank you.
No.
He is a miserable cunt at best. And somebody else suggested Richard Branson, and no, Richard Branson has turned around very, you know, categorically and said, no, I'm a massive globalist. Here, look at me on my little island in the Caribbean, living tax-free. Yeah. Fuck you all. So, no, I can't. We don't have the potential for a Donald Trump-type character. Maybe someone like Farage.
Yeah, but Farage is different. Farage is more like he's a politician, but he's an outsider politician.
Yep.
Honestly, Farage is more akin to a figure like a Ron Paul in the US.
Oh, Ron Paul. That's a good man. That's a nice thing to be likened to. I would appreciate that if I was Farage.
Politically, I don't think, like, economically and in terms of being a thinker, he's anywhere near as good as, you know, the Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Because everybody fucking loves Ron Paul. He's also a great meme. But no, the reason I don't like black people is that a lot of people can now see this, and there's a lot of weight going behind the fact that people want an alternative. People want an alternative to the new boot. It's people can see it. It really is stolen from the fucking Won't Get Fooled Again, the Who song. It really is. What is it?
Yeah.
Meet the new boot, same as the old boot. But it's well, the actual line is meet the old boss, same as the old boss. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. But it's basically that sentiment.
Yeah.
But people won't get fooled again, eventually. Eventually, the two-party, or I guess it is two-party now, since the Lib Dems keep hilariously imploding.
I mean, well, yeah. You know what? There may be some hope within the Lib Dems. I have a theory that party is resurrectable as an actual political party, and actually potentially has there's just a slither of that party actually has liberalism in you know, as in classical Whiggism, as its heritage. And maybe there's something we can do. Maybe we can make the Lib Dems great again. I don't know. I mean, what's there to lose? If we tried to do what Sargon and Dank did with UKIP, what's there to lose? Oh dear, the Lib Dems have collapsed and died. Well, big deal. Or we make them great. Who knows? Crikey. We've had more donations.
Yes, we have. They didn't pop up, unfortunately, because we had the screen up, didn't we?
Oh no, does the donation screen not work on this scene? What? It should do.
Is it over the top of it? No, actually, no. I think I just missed it. No, that did. I think that did pop up.
Yes. Well, you know what? We'll test that later because this scene should have it. It does, but anyway.
I must have just missed it. I must have just missed it. But yeah, that gives a good segue. If you want to, we'll go back and we'll go through the links chronologically we've got up.
Oh,
So
okay.
the if you want to go and queue up the Freedom Passes one, because we have, like I said, we have a lot of news to cover here.
Yeah.
It's
Oops.
quite a big one. But I will read
Interesting.
out the donations we've got so far.
Yes, go for it.
And again, guys, I'll put it in the chat, but we are still taking your shekels over Streamlabs. Thank you very much. We've got a $5 donation here from Mr. Personality. I'm sure you're a fine fellow to talk to. when does the United States get to invade the EU and Canada? I don't know. If Trudeau's comments were anything to go by, the Canadians might have a go at invading the US, apparently. Which I think was an extremely ill-advised statement and hilarious considering. I don't know, maybe if the God Emperor does actually reascend and he goes actual full God Emperor, they put him on a life support throne, and I don't know, I think there's a better chance of them invading Istanbul and turning it back into Constantinople than that. It's a bit pie in the sky, but we'll see. Maybe
I have plans on
one
that one.
day there will be.
Soon.
Oh, we have a donation here from Die, actually. Okay.
Oh, thank you, Dai.
Paying for that, paying for that, paying for the hospitality. $7. Oh, it's the full Pedro. It'd make Angry Joe happy. He'd get his $7 back. People don't get that joke anymore. That clip is amazing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Angry Joe $7. You will not be disappointed. But good luck to you and Trey. Oh, thank you, Di. Thank you. I think she's yes.
Yeah, no, that's nice. No, Ty's a good friend.
Yes.
Right,
Thank you very
we've got the
much.
Freedom Passes ready. I will transition that over. Yeah, we now have Freedom Passes, or they want to give us Freedom Passes in the UK. That doesn't sound horrifying and dystopian at all. Do you want to talk about this is for people who get tested regularly. So, as long as you go in there and get tested every 2 weeks, is it? I think it's 2 weeks if I remember rightly.
I think no. I think they do 2 in 1 week, and then it's every 2 weeks.
Right. And just keep on getting, going in there, getting that thing shoved up your nose for the test. Every couple of weeks, and then you'll be issued a freedom pass.
It's a license meme. It's literally a Oi, where's your leaving the house license. It's a Oi, where's your freedom license. It is quite literally a license meme, and it needs to fucking stop. It's time to stop, okay?
It's. I mean, look at that guy. He does not look comfortable. I don't. Do not like the idea of having to have that done every 2 weeks, so I can have a piece of paper that says I'm free to travel around the country that I was born in.
Oh yeah, as usual, they're trying to punish Liverpool first because Liverpool was one of the places that openly defied the lockdown, and they were all basically telling the police to fuck off in the streets. And they bit a lot. I think the local lockdowns were really brought in to punish places like Liverpool.
Yeah,
It
you
was a
see,
punitive measure.
did you see the armed police that they sent into a gym and closed it down at gunpoint
I did see that.
because
I
they
did.
said no? Armed fucking police to shut down a gym. Yeah. Yeah,
Ah,
early
dear,
in the
dear,
year,
dear.
mosques were operating without, consent of the lockdown, and nobody said a word or did anything. I wonder what would have happened if they'd sent armed police into a few mosques.
They might have discovered some a cache of arms themselves, I reckon.
Was going to say, they might have.
Anyway,
Yeah.
anyway.
Don't want
Oh
to
dear.
go down to that too
Oh,
much.
let's not go down that road too much. I'll start talking about the fucking The mosque in New Zealand. Because there's some shit about that you weren't told as well. One day I'll do a very spicy video about that.
Oh,
right, yeah. After I do my fucking Sandy Hook video.
Yeah.
when it becomes clear that my account is not long for this world, I will... Oh, you think I'm spicy now? I have some shit to say about Christchurch and the fun Sandy Hook at some point.
One of these days we should do an alternative to the politics we're moaning about at the moment, but that would be interesting too. But yes, no. New Zealand, there was a lot there that nobody is allowed to talk about.
No. No, we are not allowed to talk about it. We should move on. We should move on to some of again, it's interesting looking at the government that's giving us quote-unquote freedom passes and endless lockdowns and capitulations to global power. If you look at how the press was framing Boris Johnson before the election, there's I don't know, take your pick. There's three links that I've got. There's one from Middle East Eye saying Boris Johnson's Tories have become a right-wing sect. There's one from The Independent saying Boris Johnson hailed by far-right extremists for brilliant performances, and why the radical right relishes Boris Johnson as prime minister.
You know what? The crazy thing is you've got the Middle East Eye there saying why are the Tories become a right wing, have they become a right wing sect? I've got another Middle Eastern paper. Where was it here earlier that I was looking at? That was saying literally the opposite, which was, you know, has Boris's Tories turned totally socialist? And it goes into all sorts of Keynesian arguments with regards economics. I think it's a little dry for a stream. But it's interesting that we're getting two totally different lines from the Middle East on this. But let's have a look at that, because it is...
Get the Middle East Eye up one, because it's interesting to go over news sources we don't usually read or we don't usually cover. We'll compare and contrast two views of the UK from the Middle East, kind of a before and after, shall we say, from our sand cousins.
Well, you know, it's interesting to get their take on it as well, because they have slightly different versions of right and left wing politics, because there's a lot of religious aspects to take into account with the Middle East.
A lot of theocracies over there.
Yeah, I was going to say
theocracy over there.
And whilst you might look at Saudi Arabia and go, "Oh, that's extremely conservative," blah blah blah, because by British standards, yes, they've got a theocracy in place, and it's a very strong one. But at the same time, there's a huge amount of socialism going off there, because they're having to keep virtually all of their population on social care of some sort. But that's because the oil industry provides them huge amounts of money to do that. We shall see how that works out for them in the future.
Oh, yeah. we'll see how that, yeah. Oil money giveth, oil money taketh away.
Yeah, but that's because people go on, oh, the new Saudi prince is so progressive, he's allowing women to drive and things like that. And yeah, that, you know why, though? He wants women to drive and get an education, because he knows the economy in like 50 years' time will be non-existent over there once they've drained all the oil out. They'll have loads of people, loads of buildings, and everyone will be very, very horribly poor if they don't sort their act out. But anyway, I'm digressing onto Middle Eastern politics.
Oh no, it's fine. That's what these streams are. We don't mind a looser format here. We're not
no.
super duper serial.
No.
But yeah, the Middle East Eye, basically what they're saying is that they're a right wing sect. They only represent a tiny minority of super ultra right wing opinion here in the UK. This is from October, actually. I thought this was older than it was. This is from the 6th of October, which is, it's an extremely weird opinion to put out there. This is kind of like, it's the image the press puts out there versus what the Tories are actually doing. I think a lot of the UK press has started to become muddled and confused because they want to support their lockdown efforts, but their gut instinct is to call Boris a Nazi and the Conservatives a bunch of fascists.
Yep.
And they're not quite sure how to react to it.
Well, that's it. Labour have been sat there quietly clapping and applauding all of the lockdown measures and saying that they need to go further. Which, I mean, this is why you've got backbenchers up in arms at the present moment at Boris, because a party that's supposed to respect the freedoms and liberties observed in this country throughout history, you know, started by the Magna Carta and, you know, furthered onwards through the Enlightenment, all seem to have gone completely out the fucking window by a party that's supposed to represent those, you know, conservative fundamental, you know, precepts, I think is the best way of putting it. Yeah, it's...
Part of this, yeah. Part of this article is also dedicated to Islamophobia.
It's, there's a lot about it. They're talking about the no-go areas, and it's a complete conspiracy theory that there are no-go areas. And anyone that thinks that that's a conspiracy theory, take a trip to Luton. You know... Take a trip to Luton, you know, with a few homosexual people. Watch how quickly they become very, very uncomfortable and want to get the hell out of there. Yeah, Luton is, and other places up north, good God. There are, well, Rotherham is kind of a meme now, isn't it, on that front? Sadly. Very, very sadly. So there's a lot of Islamophobia stuff here. Let's get past that, because we're not doing an Islamophobia stream, and you'd...
Get the independent one up, because that's one from September last year. That's one from before the election. A lot of the rhetoric, especially before the election, surrounding Boris Johnson was about how far right he was, about how ridiculously far right his government would be. Here, there's a one from the independent here. Boris Johnson, yeah, like I said, Boris Johnson hailed by far right extremists for brilliant performance in Parliament. They're doing the thing that they did to Jordan Peterson, actually, which I talked about in a Twitter thread that people still circulate images on for some reason, that they are not talking about his words directly. They're talking about the people who like him and the people who are celebrating what he's doing. They're saying that people I think are bad like this, therefore thing bad. It kind of reminds me of something, I don't know if we talked about it on here or not, but the whole communist justification for pedophilia thing. In that their justification for it, and I'm not fucking kidding, is that the far right want to protect the family and want to protect children. Therefore, protecting family and the children is a far right position. Therefore, raping kids is the best way to defeat Nazism.
Yeah, yeah, I saw
it's
that.
It's the same logic.
Paedophilia, the argument for paedophilia is that it destroys fascism because the family is the core fundamental of the right-wing philosophy, and the core part of that is children, therefore rape the children. I frankly, at that point, I'm wanting to polish off some brass and put some people against a wall, quite frankly.
I will.
I mean, in Minecraft, obviously, no violence is being recommended here, etc. But at the same time, holy
in RuneScape, in Roblox.
Yeah. you know what? I'm having difficulty bringing up that in that independent article. It's having issues with Adblocker. Let's see if I can open it here instead and.
It's fine if not. We're quite heavy, as I would advise everyone else to be, quite heavy ad block and script block users. I use a mixture of uBlock Origin and Script Block Plus. I also have a couple of other extensions that I use to basically block tracking and identify what pages are trying to do. It's very advisable to take that is the first line of your web security. If you stop pages from executing scripts, from loading things like Java, Flash, all those outdated fucking plugins that websites love to load for their shitty ag tech, I fully endorse all forms of ad and script blocking. Please, please take your security seriously.
You know the crazy thing is, I can get it to run on Brave, but I can't get it to run on the other browser. So I might be able to get this working. Give me just 2 seconds. I need to create a new... I need to create a Brave window.
I'm going to go off on a tangent here about web compatibility, because a lot of web designers become horrendously bloated. I do this. Sometimes I will actually go through and physically archive a whole bunch of stuff I want to use, because that's the only way to guarantee it will display or other people can click on it, or it won't be geo-locked and it won't be region-locked and other people in different parts of the world can view it. And it's just... Navigating the web, the modern web, is actually kind of miserable. it is, you know, we're not having a boomer moment here. This is quite literally the Independence website, because it hung up for me for ages.
Yep.
I had to load it slightly differently.
There we go. I've used a different browser. Brave. You know what? Not that I like to give people advice on products, but I do enjoy Brave. It does seem to be a good browser, and it's pretty secure on that front. And it seems to be working on this site. So shall we hit play on this, and let's see if we can hear Boris Johnson being hailed by far-right extremists as brilliant performance in Parliament.
Yeah, go for it. It's for those who want some context. It's the it's about the Joe Cox stuff.
I genuinely do not seek to stifle robust debate, but this evening the Prime Minister has continually used pejorative language to describe an Act of Parliament passed by this House, and I'm sure that you would agree, Mr. Speaker, that we should not resort to.
God, this is
offensive, dangerous, or inflammatory language for legislation that we do not like. And we stand here
again. You've not got shitty internet. This is. I have this problem on news websites too. They buffer fucking constantly.
Yes. Face subject to death threats and abuse every single day. And let me tell the Prime Minister that they often quote his words. Surrender Act, betrayal, traitor, and I for one.
Looks like they're trying to be too efficient and mean with their caching, and their servers can't keep up. Ooh, who's this angry? Is this an angry Labour MP?
It is an angry Labour MP who I would hazard a guess her name is Karen.
Probably lost their seat. She probably lost her seat, actually.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Actually, let me have a look. Let me figure out who was the Labour MP who said this. It doesn't actually say that. God, these are so bad. I can't get over how bad a lot of these mainstream articles are. They don't present a lot of relevant information to people.
That is the worst caching I have seen on a video for a while. It literally lets it play to the end of the chunk it's downloaded, and then downloads the next bit.
Yeah.
The Independents should be ashamed of themselves, but
they have a horrendously built website. But yeah, he called it humbug, basically.
Yes.
And then they got mad at that because a lot of people were like, oh, he's not just bowing down. I mean, it's a low bar, but this... Trig, your browser window's in front of the Discord stuff, by the way. It's in front of our glowy names. Sorry, just...
You're right. Okay, let's switch back to the...
So we're having to quickly, like, dance through browsers to get all this shit to fucking work, and I hate the modern internet. Yeah, but she does need to lay off the pies. You are right there, Cyphos. That is a very, very high pie performance.
Yes.
Yes. I would say pie in the sky, more pie in the stomach, but
Well, you know, I'm going to. Okay. Yeah. No, she's a bit of a chonker.
Bit of a unit. Oh, dear me. But that's the kind of thing that we're talking about before the election. We'll not get too off track here. But pre-election, he was really kind of bolstered up and bigged up as this far-right figure.
Yeah.
And he just isn't.
No, he's not. It changed. He changed. I said this earlier. He changed when he had COVID. He went from being full of himself, big, larger than life, but the Boris we've known and loved and laughed at for years, to suddenly, boom, my handlers won't like it if I say that. And yeah, I know it's socialism, but here, have lots of it. Oh, and I know it's massive totalitarian overreach of civil liberties, but we're going to lock you in your houses for the next 6 months. You know, you wouldn't want to kill Granny, after all.
I don't have it up. I'm sure I can post a link to it, possibly in the description when this is over. But there was a great list that Rosa Dawn actually brought to my attention that one of her followers made of the amount of Labour policies that Boris Johnson has just straight up adopted, that there is a pipeline between Labour proposing something and the quote-unquote Conservatives adopting it.
It's like a year and a half, 2 years, isn't it, if I remember rightly?
It really is. It's...
Yeah. It's, oh, that's a good idea. We'll steal that. And I kind of get it. It makes it very difficult for Labour supporters to actually vote for Labour if all of their things are getting put in by the Tories. The same thing happened with Tony Blair. There was a huge number of Tories back in the early 90s going, this Tony Blair guy's all right. He seems to be a Tory in disguise. And that's because nobody since the end of the 80s has known what a Tory looks like. Because we haven't had one. We've had Labour, New Labour, and then David Cameron, who was basically Tony Blair in a David Cameron suit. Which is a horrifying image. But yeah, same shit, different person presenting it. But I've always said this, I've always said the politicians are window dressing. This is, you know, getting back to the old deep state. The deep state, when everybody talks about it in America, everybody misunderstands it. They start talking about it as if it's the Clintons, as if it's the this group. Nah, it's everything in the civil service. That deep state that people talk about is your civil servant that has worked for 40 years within the civil service, worked his way up, and is in there's no chance at all of voting him out. But he's the guy that hands the Prime Minister his brief now. So he writes down there what the Prime Minister should be looking at and should be saying and should be addressing. You never get rid of him. You'll never get rid of them. And that deep state runs very, very deep. I mean, you know, we talked about this with the covert intelligence thing. You know, it's the Food Standards Agency. It's the Gambling Commission. It's the works. It's all of them. Not to get to siege pills, but...
Yeah.
This is all window dressing, and depending on which boot you get, depends on how quickly you get the treatment. But by and large, all the same shit.
I can't find the quote. There's a great quote here by... there's a great quote I remember reading by... I think it was Hunter S. Thompson who said it, when he talks about fear and loathing on the campaign trail.
Mm.
And he talks about the fact that... The president talking about doing a whole bunch of stuff off his own back is like someone cheering for the quarterback to score in the end zone kind of thing.
Mm.
It's the machinery underneath changes, but just, you know, the head on top has, you know, it's not the machine. The man sat in the control room not working the controls trying to tell people what to do isn't in charge of all the machinery underneath him. It is almost like cheering at a football crowd, that you are the lead cheerer. You are the loudest cheerer, but you have no effect, really, physically, on what is going on in the game, on the actual frontline actions of the civil service,
mm-hmm.
of government agencies, government agents, government workers, all of this. And they really are the ones who dictate how policy is implemented and how it's affected. And those people overwhelmingly now, one, break left because it's in their own interest, but two, have been infiltrated by these activists and these ideological organizations and these NGOs, and they're bought off and they're paid for.
Even the ones that aren't bought off and paid for, they were all looking towards a quick consultancy for 2 or 3 years over in the EU and then a retirement. And they'd retire on a 6-figure salary at that point. Because final year salaries, etc. They're all after this, you know, snouting the gravy train that was Europe, and we've had the audacity to take it off them. And that whole civil service is pissed at this country at the moment. That's the real state of it. We have our civil service hates the general public for what they've done.
I'm gonna see if you can get up that independent article about stealing Labour policies. See if that'll play ball with your browser. If not, we can get something else up. But
I'm
mindful of being on the same screen for a bit now.
You're right. You know what? You're right. We have been on the same. Where is the?
It should be in the same batch of links. Again, there's one here from a website we won't be getting this one up, but there's one here from the website that calls himself Open Democracy. Why the radical right relishes Boris Johnson's prime minister. It's just, it's also funny now. It's also funny looking down the memory hole and seeing what yesteryear tried to say about what would happen, because it is so comically wrong about where this government has gone. And it was so comically alarmist at the time. And I really, I don't know how many people watch us who are not involved in that world, you know, who are not, who are quote unquote red pilled, let's say, who don't believe the media and don't believe a lot of this hype. But it's a really good way of explaining to people why you're like that, showing them things that they used to believe in the past and how they were wrong then by what's been borne out now. Because when I've talked to a lot of these people, especially like quote unquote normies, they don't remember having those opinions. They really blow with a news cycle, and they think whatever the BBC News saying is the thing that's in their own head. They are like blank fucking slates. They are really the NPC meme sometimes. Well, and you have to like physically show them what they were saying in the past on like Facebook or Twitter or something. It's like, look, you used to buy into this. You used to say this was going to happen. You know, the one I always use for Brexit is the EU army thing. Nick Clegg still never took back saying it was a, you know, made up whole cloth conspiracy theory that would never happen. You know, a week later, it was announced.
Literally a week later, in the case of the EU army, that was literally the moment Brexit had gone through. There was like, oh, well, we don't need to hold back the pretense anymore. Yes, we're having an EU army, and bam, they even wanted England to supply the army for it as well. Even though we're moving out, so to speak, which is wild. I've always said the EU army is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea, and the simple reason for it is you get an EU army, an active, you know, EU army, then the idea of any country Brexiting or leaving the EU in the future is gone, because they can just go, no, you're doing insurrection, and we're just going to bring all of these French and German troops into your country and make sure your police are bolstered properly. Meanwhile, we'll move all the British or the English army off to Italy or Bosnia or wherever, and you're buggered at that point. You've got no chance.
You are completely buggered, yes. Right. I have another donation here while I'm doing that, Trigg. Do you want to get up the... We can have a quick discussion about the mandatory COVID stuff, because there was a hilarious fact check that I found. It's literally just under the what where it says about him stealing policies.
I saw that, yes, because this has been in fact, you know what? I had a conversation with someone earlier today about this on Twitter, and even though I posted the link from the parliamentary committee where they were discussing this, his reply to it was, "Where's the evidence?" And I was like, read the link I've just sent you. Yeah, no, I don't have time for that. Tell me where the evidence is. It's right there, right in front of you. People don't read. People don't click links. And people will only be told what they want to hear and by sources that they trust. And, yeah, I'm always... Well, I don't give up. I've been doing this too long to give up now. But, no, I will keep on telling them. But they don't want to know. People don't want to know. And I think just 2 days ago, Boris came out and said there will be no compulsory vaccination. And at the same time...
At the same time, there's this. Yes. Yes. I'll read this donation first, though. We got $6.65 here from Where Are Your Papers? What did you think of Merkel demanding that all EU ski resorts be forced close? I think the EU is effectively run by Merkel. Like, she is their leader apparent. I think they might not end up making her president of the EU Commission or president of the EU, you know, whatever they call that now, whatever they call the head honcho, because she's obviously developing some form of Parkinson's. Like, she visibly shakes during speeches. She's some Joe Biden-esque geriatric, you know, globalist monster case where they're saying, oh, isn't it sad? Oh, isn't it sad that she's having these haters? No, it's not. She's not fit to rule. Why haven't you, you know, basically done the equivalent of the 25th Amendment with her? She's got, like, late-stage shaky Parkinson's.
It's
typical.
It's visible. It's very, very visible. And I, whenever I'm reminded of Merkel. I'm just reminded of Berlusconi and what he said. He's totally right, and I totally agree. That woman is an unfuckable lot us. And
wonderful.
And is a nightmare. Mainframe. A absolute nightmare. How on earth? I mean, look at her past. She came from freaking Stasi background. She, you know, it is East German nightmare. In fact, you look at a lot of the people in the EU today. Yeah, there's an awful lot of East Germans in very interesting places, and all of them have same background. You know, anyone that's older than 40, bear in mind that anyone that's older than 40 would have been at least in their 20s for, you know, they would have at least had the experience of the Stasi for at least 10 years. You know, people who are my age saw the wall come down in their late teens. Anybody older than their 40s will quite likely have had experience of things like the KGB and the Stasi. And at one point, the Stasi were employing like 1 in 3 people in East Germany, just to make
it
sure.
It was, yeah.
It was everybody. They were all looking at each other and reporting back. So when you see East Germans in high positions and they're over 50... In EU, they've probably got Stasi training. They're probably really, really scary dudes and have done some evil shit in the background. Don't trust them. I mean, they're German for a start, so that should be a... Nah, I'm just kidding. I know many good Germans. One of my best friends is a German.
One of my best friends is German. How dare you? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I've been reminded as well that we cut a discussion short earlier, but we've gone over what Boris was kind of seen as being in people's ideal mind. We've gone over what the press said about Boris before he was elected, and what the Middle East press still say about him now because Islamophobia and the divide between that. As we saw when he got COVID, like you said, the road to Damascus conversion he had. Because I had a bit of a discussion about this with some people today, and there's a few possibilities as to what's happened. A lot of people are saying that I'm being really tinfoil recently, and I had to... It was, again, I feel bad for slapping Dev around some kind, because he doesn't have the best grasp on UK politics. It's difficult for an outsider to. But the line of reasoning I've taken with the Boris stuff, which is possibility number one... is that somebody has some dirt on Boris and is, you know, a lot of establishment figures are like this, and they've reminded him that he doesn't toe the line, that he will basically just be disgraced. That what they have on him will come out, and he better do the globalist thing, he better do the lockdowns, he better not do herd immunity, or else they'll tell everyone about all the embarrassing stuff he did in the Bullingdon Club.
I was going to say,
those of you who don't know...
He was a member of the Bullingdon Club, yes. And we all know what Cameron got up to whilst he was there.
Yes, but for those of you who don't know the inside baseball of British politics, the Bullingdon Club is basically the British Skull and Bones. Mm-hmm. That is the most parallel kind of analogy with US politics. It is a secret society at Cambridge University where they go out, they do ridiculous things, they hire hookers, you know, hire all black hookers and make them get on all fours and whip them, which is actually, I don't know, that sounds kind of basic, but... They throw money at poor people, literally. Like they'll pelt like heavy wads of cash at homeless people.
Coins.
And most famously, the
rolls of coins. Yeah. Not that I have any experience of that, but yeah. They are assholes of the highest order. And yeah. They'd also do that shit where they will have you do something kind of weird and embarrassing as your initiation to get into the club. In David Cameron's case, that was to have sex with the decapitated head of a pig. I don't know what Boris's initiation was. I imagine that you may have a point there, though, because that didn't do Cameron's credibility any good when that came out.
No, it didn't. No, it was he became the pig fucker prime minister.
Yep.
People kind of forgot about it a bit, but then people got reminded a lot. I think that was just a personal thing, though. That was a personal vendetta by an ex-personal friend. If it was a load of establishment figures coming out all at once, they could make a big media scandal out of it. Because that felt like he wasn't being disgraced by the establishment, he was being disgraced by one former friend. But if they came out and accused him of something, you know, oppressive or sexist, or it'd be all over the news. It'd be nothing else but the news cycle. And they could capitalize on that because they would put on blast to his northern voters that he was this ridiculous toff pretending to be on their side, who mm-hmm. went around and did all these, you know, horrendous rich kid things as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
That is the vector I think they would choose. And I think that's possibly one of the most likely things that happened, is that he got into power, and then everyone who held sway over him, who's in the establishment, because we learned this with basically everyone who's been part of the Bullingdon Club, who's been part of things like Skull and Bones, you know, the Bohemian Grove, which is not a conspiracy theory. I'm fucking sick of people telling me it's a conspiracy theory, because there is, people just openly talk about it. There's that great thing. You remember Alex Jones on Joe Rogan?
Oh, yeah.
When he brought that clip out.
You know what? I used to have the clip. I'll try and dig it out, but I don't know if I'll find it.
Right. Oh, no, it's fine. We don't want to get that up right now. That's too much of a tangent. But it is. Yeah, there's the guy who's mad at him talking about how there was a gentleman's agreement and you don't talk about what went on there. And the rich and the powerful and the politicians all have mutually assured destruction of each other. Mm-hmm. That is how they get there. You don't usually get there unless you get there by some fluke like Trump did. He was never a politician before that. You don't get to the upper echelons of British or European or American society without being part of one of these clubs and them having mutually assured destruction on you.
And this is what they mean when they talk about Trump being an outsider as well. This is what they don't mean he's an outsider of politics or anything. He hasn't gone through all of this horrifying fucking weird shit that they do.
He doesn't know the handshakes. He hasn't been to the Grove. He hasn't fucked the pigs. You know, he's not stolen. Who did Bush Sr.? Bush Sr. stole Giacomo's fucking skull, didn't he?
Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff. They always get up to some sort of... I mean, it's pranks. It is schoolboy pranks, certainly. But at the same time, it is... it's really fucking dark shit. Yeah, it's weird fucking shit. And frankly, I would love to see politics...
Geronimo, Giacomo. That's the fucking fat person brand. Yeah, Geronimo. Yeah.
No, it needs to be expunged. You're a member of the Bullingdon Club. You're a member of the Skull and Bones. You don't get to go into politics anymore. Congratulations, there's the car wash. You've qualified yourself to be in the car wash. You know, go soap someone's window down.
And yes, the glowing eyes have come out because we've officially gone into slight beast mode here. The Bohemian Grove has come out, the Skull and Bones, the Bullingdon Club has come out. But no, the other one I always bring up to people is the Epstein Island and how eager people were to get compromised. Like, you saw, people knew. People in that world knew. There was loads of people who said for years that they'd heard about this place and some of the shit that went on there. But people still lined up and begged to go to Epstein's Island because it's part of the handshakes. It's part of the maneuvers of power. You have to let them compromise you to get into those corridors of power.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get nowhere.
And let's be fair, they did enjoy a nice bit of 14-year-old compromise. That's why they were queuing up for it. They're fucking deviants. They weren't like, oh, I don't know if... Yeah, no, they fucking wanted to get that in their balls deep. I mean, I'm sorry, but I am... Oh, fuck it. I'm going to go full Alex Jones on this.
Yeah, it's literal vampire. But no, there is a perfect. We've reached that pitch. There is a strata of the establishment, of society, whatever you want to call it. There is a strata of people up there: the mega rich, the mega powerful, the power brokers, the wealthy, the people who have nothing else they think they can do, who relish the idea of being able to show off how untouchable they are. And that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. And that's where a lot of this, you know, compromise stuff comes from as well. That they are willing to do flagrantly illegal and pedophilic acts in front of each other because, one, it flexes on the other people and shows them just how above the law they are. And two, it allows them both to have kind of the mutually assured destruction information on each other. I don't think it's too far-fetched to bring this rant round to say that there are people out there who have information on Boris Johnson he does not want in the public eye, and those people are globalists mm-hmm. and have a lockstep agenda with the rest of the world like that, with the people in Europe, with the people in the US, with all of this Great Reset, Agenda 2030, and COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, we've seen the Build Back Better. We talked about the Great Reset last week.
Yes.
It's all part of the same stuff, and I don't think that's too far-fetched of a theory. Because I had someone who, you know, had a couple of people telling me that I was being very tinfoil recently with the election stuff.
I mean...
I don't know.
We can... Trey, you, you, We're not gonna. We can do a white pill stream later on about the election because we've got some, you know, a lot of good shit potentially on that front. But tinfoil hat. I'm used to being called out for being tinfoil hat.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, incidentally, have you seen that one? The Tim Pool having Alex Jones on was glorious. It was like watching a 3-year-old trying to walk a Rottweiler. It really was.
It's a good analogy. Yeah, it's a very good analogy.
That Rottweiler was going wherever it wanted, and that small little Temple could not control it. It was great fun, and it's a shame they took it off YouTube, but it is on BitTorrent, BitChute rather.
BitChute is it's torrent based.
It is torrent based, so yeah, not a million miles off. But that was absolutely an absolutely fantastic stream. I still got to watch the end of it. I got halfway through it. And started clipping scenes out of it because
it's quite funny.
Alex Jones is so fucking memeable.
Sorry. He's so memeable. But Trigg, do you want to take us to the second option though? Because you have a theory about the COVID stuff, which I think is again relatively valid.
I think it's essentially the same thing that you're suggesting, but with the added, oh, you don't think we can get you here? Have COVID, and we're gonna stick you in a hospital ward, hold you on the verge of life and death. And tell you that if it happens again, it will be fatal. So make sure you do what you're told. Again, wouldn't put that past a government. We have seen governments do horrifying things in recent past, never mind historically.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's essentially, the theory is the same. The people in power want to maintain that power. Boris was looking like he was going to go off the reservation, and then was pulled back in, whether it was by minor threat or meager threat of we know what you did back in the summer of 89, or whether it's a case of we also know what we did back in the summer of 89, but we're also prepared to kill you if you don't go ahead with it. Because, you know, COVID, oof, everybody knows that's fatal, even though very few people have actually seen anybody die of it, apart from, you know, people actually working in hospitals. You know, it's like, people die of the flu, people die of all sorts of things. But at the moment, the zeitgeist is that if you get COVID, you know, you're as good as dead, unless, you know, you're one of the 99.8% of people that will shrug it off. But essentially, yeah, no, I think they actually nobbled him. We can discuss who they are, but yeah, somebody, I think, gave him COVID. The fact that half of Parliament didn't go down with COVID, and it was only Boris. And Boris is sat there on the front benches. He's shaking hands with people all day, every day, etc. Back in those days, he wasn't wearing a mask either. The fact that it didn't knock down his entire cabinet with COVID, and it was only him that got it, just struck me as a little tiny bit odd.
Yeah. Also, the fact that Trump fucking bossed it and then was on death's door. Yeah. One of the few cases we've seen, like a lot of the political. I know it happened in Iran, but Iran's a fucking third world country. Let's be fucking frank about that. But yeah, the fact that it really hasn't taken down many world leaders, it really hasn't taken down many of older people even who are in the public eye. You know, it's very rare we see a famous COVID death, even with the aging population, even with people in their 70s. It's rare we see that.
Yep.
And it was a very, you're right, it was an odd one. And it does almost feel like it was a we are powerful enough to touch you wherever you are.
Yes.
The third option, obviously, and the most, I think the most depressing option, honestly, because it shows a bit of a lack of agency for people, is that he was always this bad, and he was merely pretending. I don't agree with this one, but
it's also possible. But I don't know. I've followed Boris for a long time now, and he's always been that Tory party member who you kind of like. You can't help but like him because he's, you know, he's there going, do you want a cup of tea? I'm not going to answer those questions, but here, you've been out here all day and I thought you could do with a cup of tea. You know, that type of stuff. He was always very nice. He was always, you know, having a bit of a lark. He had promise, but yeah, at the same time, as you said, he's a member of the Bullingdon Club. They're all out of the same press, essentially, printing press. And it's not just Tories that are from Bullingdon Club either. Look into the Bullingdon Club, look into how many of your Labour and Tory parliamentarians are from the same place, the same background, and all used to hang out drinking together.
Oh yeah, that's what I went to go over as well. The all hail the new boot thing as well is because in the Tory party, you basically have to be from the Bullingdon Club. Like that is how you get into the upper echelons there. In the Labour Party as well, if you're a neoliberal, if you're on the Blairite side of the party, you're another Bullingdon Club boy too. You're another Oxbridge twat. And if you're on the far left of the party, you're a fucking trade unionist far leftist. You're no hope for the country. You come pre-compromised. You know, you already were a no hoper. You already don't know how economics or like the social structure of the UK works. So there was no hope of you doing anything outside of the kind of political establishment anyway. And if they were doing it on the left, that's what people want. People want to drag leftwards. That seems to be the agenda now. So that's how you end up with a series of boots. That's how you end up with, despite the clear will of the people being what we showed earlier of, you know, enhanced accountability, they want Brexit, they want lower immigration, which we'll probably cover after this. But instead, we've got the government is proposing to make the COVID-19. Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
There's the Ben Garrison image. And I love that Ben Garrison basically in recent years became the edit meme. we have a couple of variations on this one, but yeah, it's a good point. It's next time I'll vote Republican, next time I'll vote Democrat, and it's really just the global elite.
Yeah,
who you end up with the same people. It's both it's the global elite on top, and it's the deep state and the bureaucracy below.
And just for America,
that thin strata of people you can vote for really don't have much control.
Yeah, and for those in America, if you don't sort your election out, this is what you're gonna get. I'm not going to do the other one we found because that one's very spicy.
Yeah. That's the city version.
That's the city version. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, if they don't fucking fix this election, if they don't work out their irregularities, it's going to be that every year, all year, every time. Because once they know how to fix it, and they're working it out. They're working out the kinks, you know. This election, those vertical spikes, that was a mistake by them. Next time they ain't gonna make that mistake again. Now I think all this shit was in place when Hillary went in. Yeah, and I know we're totally segueing now, but I am absolutely certain Hillary was cheating as well in 2016. That's why she was so fucking pissed off.
I think he was so popular.
Yeah.
That they couldn't cheat him, like my favorite, I think it was Hotep Jesus who said that, but just the best reaction to the day after was just like, bitch, how you lose a rigged election? Hillary Clinton was so shit that she lost an election that was rigged for her.
I secretly love following Hoteps on Twitter. They're hilarious.
They're the fixed type of crazy, you know.
Yeah.
They have some more benign crazy. I mean, they're still fucking nuts. They still believe in a lot of that Melanie Magic shit. Anyway, there's a fact check here. There's a lot of stuff we have to go over.
Let's do it.
We might have to increase the rate we're going over it.
Okay. This is the fact check about the... they're not proposing a COVID-19 vaccine to be mandatory. Of course they wouldn't. That's a terrible... Except.
Yeah. they're saying our verdict is evidence submitted to the parliamentary committee by four academics argues that the government may want to consider making a COVID-19 vaccine mandatory. This is not being proposed by the government. The thing is, yet this is still in the very early committee stages.
Hold on.
And the fact that they are hearing this evidence and that seems to be what forms their policy. If you want to get the actual committee stuff up.
I am already on this because, you know, right, this is... I'm sorry, it's a wall of text.
Is,
but yeah.
When they do propose it, that fact check will still quote-unquote stand. They'll say, oh, well, it's not mandatory, but the... it is a wall of text. Do you just want to sum it up, Trig? Because the vector they're actually going to use?
I'm going to sum it up. Yeah, introduction, vaccine hesitancy, relevant law, etc. They go through basically a whole series of arguments here. But without getting too bogged down into the core of it, it can be summed up fairly nicely by the last five lines. Which we can argue by analogy from the compatibility with the ECHR, that's the Economic Community Human Rights Act, of compulsory treatment in mental health law to be human rights law compliance and compulsory vaccination. In the context of highly infectious disease, every person is at risk for infection and a potential threat to the life and health of others. A person's default state is that of nature and degree to warrant immunization. Vaccination protects the individual from serious possible harm, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, it is arguable that if the lockdown restrictions are compatible with human rights law, which I would argue they aren't, so too is it compulsory vaccination. A public health law rules out medical treatment, including vaccination, but permits extensive restrictions on personal activity, such as freedom of movement and association. Essentially, what they're going to say, if I can find the actual line here, is that under the Mental Health Act, they are able to administer drugs forcibly onto somebody. And using that legislation that allows them to compulsorily give people drugs without their consent, they are going to use that as the premise for essentially saying that anyone that doesn't want the vaccination is committing an act of self-harm, therefore is insane, and therefore will be held down and given the injection by force. This is only written evidence in a committee being discussed at the moment, but it's certainly evidence the government is indeed working out a good argument, a strong argument legally, for forced vaccination of their population. Which
it's
would
be a carrot and a stick approach, I think. Yeah. I think it's going to be basically you don't get any of your freedoms back until you take the vaccine. And if you refuse to take the vaccine too vehemently, we will basically declare you insane and force it upon you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how they're going to do that, whether it will be a case of you'll walk in into your doctor's office and they'll go, oh, you haven't had the vaccination yet, Bob, pop into the room over here, and you go into the room and go, you know what, I don't want this vaccination. I'll miss out at the time. Whether it will be two orderlies grab hold of you and pin you down there and then. Or whether they go, okay, no problem at all, I'll make a note of this on your notes, and then find you've been sectioned, and then find the police turn up on your door to incarcerate you under the Mental Health Act.
I think it might be the latter, yeah.
Yeah, and they will basically take you off, put you in a mental health ward for observation, where you'll be given the vaccination and declared you're perfectly fine. Which is...
I kind of want to get that David D's vaccine checkpoint thing up, because life has become a fucking David D's fever dream at the moment. It has become really, really fucking bad.
You know, I miss David D's. He was taken from us right at the point in time when his artwork was more. I mean, he's bonkers, but.
Oh yeah, he's nuts. He's insane.
Well, he was. He was, and he tried also. He, for those that don't know, David Dees last year passed away from cancer. He was an artist. He'd worked in Hollywood, and certainly was it stuff like Sesame Street and stuff. He did the illustration for early on, and then
yeah, it's really weird.
He was a very professional artist. He went on to do some really wild. Artwork that's
put it in stream resources if you want to get it up for people to actually see.
Have you got a link? Because
I found it.
Nice. I found
a nice high res version. The high res version is a little bit hard to find, so I had to. There you go. That's a nice high res image for people.
That's this is David D's work. It is glorious. It is a collage. It is a Photoshop collages and an extra artwork on top. And he paints very. Dystopian future art, or he did,
but in a really like fever. Like it's, I always describe him. He's like Ben Garrison on DMT.
Yeah, that's apt. Oh, you know what? I'm just gonna. I found his. This is a great version of it. Let's see if I can get this in. Yeah.
Oh man, it's a shame about it's interesting is what it is. I always found this out, but the stuff about 5G he did was like the glowing shit was just, again, it was even more fever dreamy. he got very much like he believes all of the conspiracy theories. Like he's someone who believes in the lizard people shit.
I love this one. This is his work on about Bill Gates and the vaccines. And again, it's fever dreams, DMT, as you said, Ben Garrison.
Oh dear, that's to be fair though, it's not fucking far off. Bill Gates, WHO.
Yeah,
it's the thing. He was so scattershot. He had to be right about some of it though. I think a lot of it's broken clock syndrome.
Yes.
Oh dearie, dearie me.
Yes, no, David Dees, God rest his soul, as I said, he got cancer early in the year, and he tried lots and lots of herbal remedies, refused to go to the hospital because he thought, whilst he was out, the CIA would rearrange his shoes. And I'm not God, serious.
David Dees, show my shoes, yeah.
He was really that nuts, and yeah, herbal remedies, it turns out, not good when you've got cancer. Go to the doctor, people. They have learned how to deal with this. Don't just find some weirdo on the internet that wants to sell you black salve or some horrifying nonsense like that.
All right. Well, we have one more. We have a dollar donation here from Mr. Personality again. Thank you again.
So, thank you.
Penicillin taken orally or rectally. It's pretty good.
Whichever works for again, you.
Streamlab links down below and in the chat. Yada yada, throw shackles. Down below in the description, we do have a link to my Discord, Trig's Twitter, and there's a playlist for all of our Starman and the Boomer episodes. There's a playlist there for Seal of Approval. And also for Don't Push Scrum, there is now 3 episodes of that in the works. So we do record one this week. 2 more edited up that will probably be put on BitChute at some point, and 1 more we'll be doing this week about the Game Grumps allegations. So that show is not dead, don't worry people. Like I said, possibly 3 episodes coming out pretty much all at once pretty soon. So all your Scrump and Dev content will be satiated there. Right, shall we move on to the economics of all of this though?
Why not?
No, actually, before that, what do you want to do? Immigration first or economics? There's a couple of more topics to tackle here.
Let's hit immigration.
I think outside of that, we don't have much apart from some of the COVID snooping stuff, which I think we've really covered previously.
Largely.
The worst of it is like the freedom passes, and
we do have a message from a sponsor, Keedup, of course, which we will play at the end.
We do. Oh, actually, no, we should probably do that now.
Do you want to do that now? We've actually got a sponsor.
We've actually found ourselves a sponsor this week. Thank you. You know what, Trig? You should just play it.
I'm just gonna play it.
Yeah.
I've tried fad diets, powders, pills. Still, my weight's been up and down like a yo-yo until the AIDS plan taught me how to take off weight and help keep it off.
AIDS may taste like a candy, but AIDS contains one of the most effective appetite suppressants you can buy, and there's no stimulant in AIDS that could make you nervous.
With AIDS, I ate less, so the weight came off. To help keep it off, when I sometimes want things loaded with calories, AIDS helps put me in control.
Let the AIDS plan teach you how to take off weight and help keep it off. Try peanut butter AIDS.
Right. Okay. Yes. My favorite flavor of AIDS is definitely peanut butter flavor. I don't know about you.
Until the AIDS plan taught me how to take off weight and help keep.
Try peanut butter AIDS. Yeah.
I think that's looping, Trig. I think it's looping.
It is. So I've stopped it.
There we go.
But there we go. That was we dug that up. That's from 1982, just before the AIDS pandemic broke out, and boy, did they pick a bad name for their product. But if you need to slim and lose weight fast, AIDS is definitely the way forward.
The AIDS diet. For those who don't know, that's a joke.
Yes.
Because I saw the viewership actually go down there. Oh. People like, oh, sponsorship. Oh, no. We don't actually have sponsors here. No. We mostly just make jokes. Oh, dear. Right. fucking hell. Let's tackle the immigration stuff first. Because the immigration side of this is one of the main broken promises. It's one of the main kind of 180s that the Boris administration, you know, the Tories... The modern Tories have completely fucked us on, because they promised they promised immigration reform. And to give you some background before we get into this properly, they proposed a new points-based immigration system, kind of similar to Australia. But the problem is they set the threshold very low. And as it's turned out, that under Boris Johnson's government, immigration has skyrocketed to kind of pre-Brexit vote levels. It's skyrocketed to as bad and actually worse than it was under David Cameron. Even at the higher levels, even at the rush whilst people are trying to get in before the Brexit vote. It's gone way, way, way higher than that. There's a couple of stories here. There's the one for the BBC and one from Wales Online. I don't know which one.
I've got the Wales Online one up straight away. That seemed to be the first one.
Yeah, there we go.
It's the same one, isn't it? It's the same news article.
So we have backups in case one of the sites decides to take them down or they stop working. So.
Or if my paywall.
Do you want to tackle this?
Yes, yeah. Certainly. What's essentially happened is, whilst we've been busy locked in our houses, fearing for our very lives at the slightest sniffle, boats have been shipping in immigrants by en masse. Nigel Farage has tried to, you know, basically bring this to light a few times, and has got himself into trouble. And just recently, back in September, the UK government has confirmed that at the Ministry of Defence site in Pennalley in Wales will be used for at least a year to house asylum seekers, and they're basically putting more asylum seekers in that MOD property than are in the local, you know, villages in that area. And if they're not careful, they will have created a massive demographic shift in these sites in Wales. And, you know, so much so that Wales Online and the BBC have even highlighted it. Oh, that's not the one I was after. Where's the BBC link? But, essentially it's up to 250 asylum seekers have been brought in, all of which will be single adult males, of course. Because let's be fair,
fighting age men thing.
They are that is what asylum seekers are. So all the women and children, I don't know, they seem to have stopped off elsewhere, I guess. So lots of
disappeared
young Nobody fighting knows. Age men have come over here seeking asylum, which is odd because the only place that was actually a valid asylum country was Syria. Their civil war has been over for a little while now, thanks to Donald Trump kicking ISIS's ass. And Syria are actually asking for their refugees back. And
it was thanks to Donald Trump stopping sending weapons to ISIS like the Obama administration was doing.
Well, yes, definitely that. He also bombed the crap out of them fairly effectively as well. But yes, definitely helps when you don't give your enemy weapons and funding and equipment and intelligence advice and etc. in Minecraft.
It's okay, guys. They only gave it to the good rebels, not the bad rebels. Oh no, our equipment went missing.
Yeah. Are you here? Did you hear the there's a couple of American operatives had actually sort of come out and said we were involved in delivering, you know, arms to El Nusra and the friendly rebels, and lo and behold, ISIS turned up. We were about to shoot them dead, and their officers told us to stand down and let them have the goods. They were here for it. So we know damn well with eyewitness testimony that they were supplying weapons and equipment to ISIS. Sadly, thank you, Obama. Very cool. Remember. 8 years, no scandals whatsoever. Benghazi,
no scandals.
Libya.
8 years, no scandals. No, the Benghazi didn't happen. Libya didn't happen. None of that shit happened. You know, the Fast and the Furious, the letting the guns walk didn't happen. Look that up, by the way. So much didn't happen. Just didn't happen, guys. Media didn't cover it, therefore it didn't happen. But yeah, a lot of the Welsh. This is a very small Welsh community that has suffered. A lot of these communities in Wales have suffered horrendously. Just from the marches of time, from the pit closures, from the deindustrialization and globalization of the economy in the UK, from letting our manufacturing walk overseas, from letting the Chinese trample all over us, and now, to add insult to injury, you know, they're all going to get fucking raped by a Paki. So that's well, no. They're all Syrians, apparently. They're all very black Somali looking Syrians.
You know how you tell a Syrian immigrant from the rest of them is the Syrians will be the ones that look Italian. The moment they're darker than Italian, you know they're probably not from Syria. I know quite a few Syrians. They're all highly educated, well, you know, intelligent people that seem to have come from a very, you know, advanced country. And it's been bombed into obliteration for various reasons. But yeah, no, the Syrians, by and large, are actually very, very, very westernized, Mediterraneanized people. And none of these... refugees seem to fit that that description.
Refugees in quotes.
Yes.
Big fucking quotes. Yeah, refugees.
Have you noticed it's not refugees anymore? Have you noticed they've just gone asylum seekers because they can't be asked to cover that shit up anymore?
No, they're not covering it anymore. Pubs closed, borders open. I'll get that fucking image for you if all of you want, because that's a pretty good meme.
The North FC one. Yeah.
Yeah, the North. I'll get you that one. That's perfect for this situation. It is exactly what is going on here, and it's
I don't know, it's worth noting this thing in Wales is just a simple sample of what's going on elsewhere, you know.
Oh no,
if you've got an MOD if you've got a disused MOD property nearby, cast an eye on it, and I am willing to bet that a number of them will suddenly start getting populated very soon if they haven't
already.
Well,
they've been
sneaking them in.
Do you want to get the... Let's not... I won't get the article... But let's not get the article up here, the one from the... There's graphs here. They're basically from the Office of National Statistics. There's an ONS.gov link that you guys can go to verify these. But I put them... There's the two most operative graphs we'll go over.
Yep.
In terms of immigration. So that is the qualitative stuff. That is the stuff we're seeing. That is what's actually happening. Here are the raw statistics. Here's the first graph. On how net migration has increased since 2019. So Boris Johnson ran on a platform of reduced immigration and immigration reform. Here's the reality. Net migration, long-term international migration, UK, year ending 2010 to year ending March 2020. So things were pretty fucking bad in 2010. If you remember, that was when the outgoing Labour government was still trying to, you know, put as many people in as possible. And it reduced for a bit under Cameron, then it got worse as the Brexit vote loomed and people started to panic about getting into the UK. It reduced somewhat, not a lot, after the
referendum?
The Brexit vote.
Yeah, it did.
But if you look there, since about March, since the lockdown, oh, look at that, since the lockdown started, sorry, not since the lockdown, since Boris Johnson was elected, because this only goes up to March 2020, because we don't know the figures yet for what's happened after the lockdown. I imagine they'll be even worse than this.
Yep.
But migration has skyrocketed. Look at that curve. Look at it.
It's
alarming.
Well, we're now at almost the same peak point we were back in 2015, 2014. And
no, we're above it.
We're way above it within that. Yeah. This is bullshit, Boris.
The thing is, Mike, emigration's going up, but a lot of that is, you know, Brits emigrating. You can't really, the whole net migration thing is a cop-out anyway. You want to look at the immigration is way higher. There's a slight increase in emigration because people are getting the fuck out of the UK.
Yeah.
But we are about level with that peak, and we are way above it in terms of raw immigration figures. So, if you want to get the other graph up as well, basically what they've done is EU migration is down, but they have more than made up for it by non-EU immigration. And a lot of this is quote-unquote Syrians. A lot of it's Somalis and Chinese, to be honest. A lot of it, they try and explain this away as all student visas somehow in the body of the text. They try and say this is just students. And this is all temporary and not to be alarmed and nothing to see here. But we've seen the reality. We've seen the boats turning up. We've seen the migrants being shipped off to these disused military bases. You know, you saw the news story there. Mm. Even the BBC is talking about how damaging this could be to a small Welsh community. You know, when the BBC is saying that your immigration is wrong, you've got a problem, because the BBC is usually, you know, far, far and away behind all that globo homo shit. You know, they're really sucking the UN's dick all the time.
This is wild. I mean, so we've essentially, what you're saying here is we've traded French and German people coming over and living in the EU.
Mainly Polish and...
yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And they've gone home. Yeah, you're right. The Polish have largely gone home because they've earned a chunk of money over here. They're taking it back home. You know what? Poland is in need of as much help as it can get. I'm not going to hold that too much against the Polish for coming over here, working hard, slash a bit of, you know, minor larceny, and then leaving. It's that spike. That holy shit. Where are they coming? These people are traveling across the entire of Europe to get here as well. They're not paddling over from Somalia or Pakistan in a dinghy.
Yeah,
they're traveling.
We don't share a border with those countries.
Yeah,
you know?
These
we don't share a border with Pakistan or Somalia or Turkey.
Yeah, how are they getting here? Who's letting them? Why is there suddenly freaking an extra 100,000 to 200,000 coming over every year? What's going
Look
on?
At that. It's gone from, yeah, it's nearly a, it's a over 100,000 spike.
Bear in mind.
It's gone up from about 170,000 maybe to over 300,000.
You're talking.
So that's an extra at least 130,000. I'd say by going up above there, at least 150,000.
That's the
non-EU.
That's the population of a small town every year.
It is.
Yeah, that is the population of a small town every year they're adding to these figures. I don't want to start talking about, you know, replacements or anything, but there's an awful lot of people being brought in.
Oh, it gets even more depressing when you look at where our population growth is being driven from.
Yeah. you know what? Back in the 80s and early 90s, we had our population sorted. We had basically parity in terms of births and deaths. It wasn't growing. It wasn't getting any larger. Yes, but it wasn't getting much smaller either. And we were proceeding down the technology route to solve the problem of menial labor. Why they've been brought in. I mean, we are literally going to... Robots don't require pay. Robots don't, you know, hang around in gangs and commit crimes and massive atrocities. And these people are all going to be replaced by essentially electronic, you know, telling machines and robotic freaking road sweepers very, very rapidly. We're not going to need them. Why are we here? They would do better in their own country. If they've got so much, get up and go and get your own country back up and, you know, in and fighting. That's what
well,
Syria
Poland
wants.
And Romania are crying out for their diaspora back.
Yeah, which is what, and they're going back, and good on them, actually. Good on them. Because, yeah, you say Poland, Romania, the all of those countries, they had their youth up sticks and run off into Europe to earn money, because God knows it's poor over there. Incidentally,
I've talked about it before as well, but the effects of free movement in Europe, they've not only negatively impacted the host countries, but the donor countries have had, you know, right, they are so short on people. Romania and Poland are actually going through quite a big economic recovery right now. They're doing quite well. And the main limiting factor they have is good labor. They don't have the people. They don't have the working age people there. That is the only thing holding back their growth. They are doing gangbusters otherwise.
Yeah,
And it's a real shame. It's ruined both sets of countries through this imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only really all we've done is supplant EU immigration for non-EU immigration at even higher levels. And again, that is a complete broken promise from a Boris Johnson government. But I think we should probably now move on to our last point, which is the economics of it, because that's the real. That's been the real story this week, I suppose. Some actual relevant news, you know? But we're getting to the end of it here. We're coming full circle from the expectation to the end of the reality. I'm sure we'll have a lot to say about Rishi Sunak, the fact that he was brought in as a relatively unknown face, unknown figure, and he seems to be the most socialist... the most socialist chancellor we've ever had. Oh, you talked about the Middle East article. We can bring that up.
Oh, there's a Middle East article. Yeah. Well, I've just got a Guardian article here. It's a month old. It's on October, but the title itself is hilarious. Boris Johnson is no socialist, but his big spending will make Labour's job harder. Even the Guardian is admitting in just that title that essentially he's going, how's Labour going to outspend this amount of big spending?
It's funny because they accuse the Tories of buying votes, which is hilarious when you consider the stuff Labour did. Hilarious to accuse them of buying votes.
Mm. Just before that, The Guardian had another title back in July. Rishi Sunak's mini-budget will be the most left-wing in years. Can Labour capitalise? We are literally seeing the Tory government out-labouring and out-left-winging the Labour Party, and The Guardian, of all people, going, yeah, well, I don't know how Labour could possibly match the huge amount of spending you're doing. And, you know what, I've actually got a... God, this is an independent one, so this might open, it might not. Let's hold our breath. Yes, it does. Because this is the core of it. This is the key numbers and policies from Rishi Sunak's spending review. This was published 2 days ago in The Independent. Again, I'm trying to use as many left-wing sources as I can, because, use the enemy's own words against them. At the end of the day, if you want an honest opinion, don't ask people on your side, ask people on the other side, ask people on your side as well, and see if you can find a midpoint. And this, not a bad article. They pretty much, clump it down. Overseas aid cut. It says it's cut, it's been cut by 0.5% of gross national income. So I don't expect it to, all those trillions we're sending abroad to be, gone. No, we're cutting 0.5% off it. But, it's a start. I'm personally of the opinion that you actually sort out your own problems before trying to fix everybody else's. And we should
eliminate the aid budget, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely. While this is going on. There should be no aid going around while we are borrowing money. I don't think we should have an aid budget while we are borrowing. I think aid budgets should be countries with surpluses. We are a debtor nation. We have been a debtor nation for decades.
Yep. Christ, since before the Second World War, for 100 years, we've been in debt, if not longer. And in fact, you know what? I actually think that a large chunk, if I remember right, I was looking into this the other day, a large chunk of the debt of the UK actually stems back to the Napoleonic War, when they brought in income tax to help fund it, and then as a temporary measure, of course, we can't be taxing our people on their labour. That would be ridiculous. Oh, look at all the money we're getting. Well, we'll just knock the temporary bit off the front of that phrase. We've been in debt. We're still in debt. I think it's the Rothschilds or someone like that, Rockefellers. It's one of the two. I think it's the Rothschilds. So yeah, because of
very, very different there, but yeah, it's one of those shady billionaire dynasties that begins with an R. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I can't remember the exact one, but yeah, we picked
short nose R or long nose R. Yeah, depending on you, pick your poison.
Yeah, small or large hat.
But yeah, let's go over the measures. Public sector pay freeze.
Except for the NHS, because the NHS are all saviour, part of the government, so the NHS aren't affected. To be honest, I quite like the fact that nurses aren't being, clobbered at this point in time, but we do know that a lot of the stuff they've been moaning about we're really hard worked under COVID, we know that's a lot of bollocks.
They had to stop making TikTok videos because people were actually criticizing them for once.
I love how they all stopped all of a sudden as well. It was like, oh Christ, this is not going down well. Stop it immediately, and rightly so. So the frozen the public sector pay, infrastructure bank established. This is interesting. He says Rishi Sunak is putting £100 billion, that I don't know where he's got that money from exactly, into infrastructure next year, which will establish a national infrastructure bank headquartered somewhere in the north of England, and there'll also be a $4 billion levelling up fund. Which, you know what, this is the sort of spending you see from government where they want to improve, jobs. And it's not a terrible thing. I think it's a lot of money to be pushing into this. But
the problem is that when I've seen these initiatives, they've always been horrendously run.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 50 of that billion. Out of that 100 billion, 50 billion of it will fuck off into people's pockets and no one will see anything from it. It will disappear in studies and programs that will look into X, and then there'll be lots of people holding coffee meetings, and all of a sudden it will have run up, a couple of million, and that times a few hundred, and a lot of it will be gone very quickly by middle management and local bureaucracy finding ways of sucking on that particular trough of money. But if some of it goes towards, infrastructure and sorting out roads, etc., I guess that's not terrible. He's putting up the minimum wage, which I'm somewhat concerned about, minimum wages, because
a bit dubious. Once you start getting up to that £9-10 an hour, you start getting up to like a machinist wage, or the problem is it starts to erode a lot of the jobs above minimum wage.
Yeah.
It starts to make people feel pissed off. You get a lot of people quitting and going second shelves because it's easier. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in engineering.
Oh yeah.
They can't get people in because they'll just say, I can work at Tesco night shifts more than this. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, the same. I used to do recruitment work. We used to put literally 7.5-ton lorry drivers into trucks and have them drive around the country at all times of the day or night, and they were getting about 15 quid an hour. It was a few years ago, so it probably gone up a little bit, but they were driving and they had to have the right qualifications. They had to, the right insurances checked out, this, that, and the other. And now minimum wage is getting very close to, that job, which is, delivery drivers' jobs, delivering sometimes transcontinentally. They drive long hours, and at this point in time, a Tesco shelf stacker is earning almost the same wage as them. Probably an 18-year-old shelf stacker that doesn't have anything like the experience either.
Well,
so,
this is for over 21s, but yeah, this is for over 21s generally.
Yes.
It's being extended to over 21s, which means it's coming down from being over 25s.
Yeah, but yeah, as you say, the minimum wage people go, oh great, I've got a pay increase, and anyone that's just above minimum wage goes, oh great.
Again, this doesn't help small businesses though.
No, oh god no. This is it. If I'm a shopkeeper and I've got 3 part-time staff and I'm paying them, I don't know what, 14,000-15,000 a year each, or whatever it is, and that goes up, and suddenly I have to pay them an extra couple of quid. What will happen is one of those members of staff will probably end up having to leave and will increase the hours on the other. That's what's going to happen. So you'll get 2 out of 3 people will be happier that they've got extra hours, and one person going home going, sorry, kids, don't know how to tell you this, but, we're eating boiled rice for tea because I don't have a job anymore.
Yeah, it's a bit of a black pill.
Yeah,
a lot of people think, well, you can just give people more money. They'll have more money then. I'm afraid that's not how it works when you're an adult.
Did you see the article about the guy, the small business owner in America, who's looking at a Biden presidency and realized that he's going to have to, because of the tax increases, going to have to let 60 members of staff go?
Yeah, I saw that.
So he wandered through the car park of his company and made a note of 60 cars that had got Biden Harris in the window and fired them.
Oh, good lord.
Which,
anyway, before we get into the real scary shit, which is the debt, we got another donation here from Wes Wyvern, who I know, who some of you may know. He's a good dude.
Wes is a good boy.
He's $5, thank you, Wes. He's saying, Stan and the Boomer, more like Dumb Man and the Dumb Guy. Yeah, deal with that, nerds. Also, I prefer AIDS dark chocolate flavor. We all prefer dark chocolate. We all prefer dark chocolate. Dark chocolate AIDS. I just got that.
I hate that.
Darkest chocolate.
Oh.
Please do throw shackles at us, guys. We will read any that come in. We're getting towards the end of the stream here, but we will read any that come in the meantime at the end. But the big one is the fucking borrowing we're doing for this.
Oh god, it's endless. Have we got a where is it? That's the Stasi. The government is acting like a nightmare. That's the Summit News stuff. Where is the actual figures for how much we are in the sink for it? Have you got the link somewhere?
No, I don't actually. But the thing is, it says it here in the article that the Chancellor says the budget deficit will be hitting $349 billion.
Yes,
with a B this year, which is 19% of GDP. That's 19% of our entire economy. Of everything in our economy will be borrowing this year, or the highest peacetime level in history. We haven't been this in debt since the wars.
You know, essentially,
this is temporary. Yeah,
1/5 of the tax, $1 in five or £1 in five of tax that you're spending is going to pay off the crap that has been pulled this year. That's what they're saying.
So we're not going to use it to build hospitals. Not going to use it to train people. We're not going to use it on roads, on rail, on anything, on education. None of it. It's all going to go to, you know, eventually to end up servicing our debt. Yeah, the borrowing is the thing that's going to kill us long term. That is essentially kind of a death of the UK economy for the next 5 years at least.
Five? I mean, the last time we were at this level was Second World War, and we finished paying off that debt about, was it 6 years ago?
Yes.
It was about 6 years ago. And so
because it was in the news, yeah.
Yeah, don't say 5 or 6 years. More like 50 or 60 years. We're going to be paying this off. I am going to be an old man drawing my pension for a long time before we pay this off, if we ever pay it off. And considering, you know, let's think of another European country where this hasn't happened. Say Sweden, all this shit hasn't happened. Their figures are almost exactly the same as ours for, you know, illness rates and death rates for COVID. And yet their economy's fine. Their economy's booming. You know why? They didn't have a shutdown.
Yeah, it's the same everywhere where they didn't have these ridiculous measures. It is, as we predicted, as we all said, this has been economic suicide. And yeah, record economic contraction. Sunak reveals that the OBR says the economy will shrink by 11.3, double digit shrinkage.
Yeah.
You know, 11.3% is, I think the figure quoted was the biggest contraction in the UK economy for, 300 years. Like, this is pre-modern history. This is bordering, you know, this is like 100 years after Shakespeare, you know?
Yeah.
This is 1700s. This is pre-industrial. This is pre-steam engine. This is pre-Victorian. This is pre-Napoleon when we were in debt this heavily. It is insane. It is an insane figure. So this is the biggest contraction since the 1700s.
The only way out of this. You know the only way out of this economy? You know the only quick way out of this economy? You know what we'd have to do?
Empire?
We would have to go on, literally, we would have to rebuild our navy and start going around conquesting again. That is the only way to
build the empire.
Yeah, we'd literally... okay, yes, you're right. We have to rebuild the empire. No, because the empire actually costs us fortunes.
Don't worry, guys. It's expected to rebound quickly with return to the pre... The thing is that we're going to be in the hole until 2022, even by these rosy predictions. So...
Here's my white pill on this. And I got this from, you know, I read books on, like, the Book of Lord Shang. It's a great book. It's about 3,000-year-old book. And in there, it sort of lays out plans of how to govern countries. One of the things it says is absolutely essential for growth is enough people unemployed to actually start new companies. We are going to certainly have that. We are going to have an economy that will be gagging, dying for new business, and lots of people dying to get employed by those new businesses. Does set us up for actually quite a substantial amount of growth in the very near future, and I think it will be very, very good for the younger years. Probably going to be really bad for anybody over 50 that's been laid off, because getting a job will be a nightmare, because there'll be 20, maybe 200, maybe 500, maybe 1,000 people in their 20s that will do that job for less. So yeah, if you're over 50, this is not good for you. But I can see in the next couple of years a hell of a boom coming, just because of this shit. But
we sort it out though. The problem comes when we look at the Great Reset stuff, the endless lockdowns, the coming, you know, biological lockdowns when they finally, you know, vaccinate people and give people their freedom passes, and you know, we'll be wearing masks for months after that, and there'll be minor COVID outbreaks, and they'll. It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare for the next year at least, unless something drastic happens. But you're right. If things can get sorted, if we can get a decent government, if the US can get a decent government and we get a decent trade deal, there is the potential here for massive growth. I agree with you.
Yeah. It could happen really quickly. All we need is some bright spark to go, hey, I've invented the new Google. Come and work for me. And that company will boom. There's going to be so many people that will literally go, we'll code for food. You know, fine, I'll go work for them. Bam, company rises out of the ashes. There's the potential for it. That's certainly there. But not if we're all locked in our homes. Not if you can't go outside. Not if everyone's being kept on furlough. And certainly not if there is absolutely no orders to take for your brand new company, because everybody else is bust. Which is the real fucking worry here. It could take quite a long time for people to have the money to buy a new product. Unless you want to export it, which... all power to you. But... yeah, no, I'm more than a little concerned, to say the least, and especially with the Great Reset and everything else, I feel like we're being set up for it. I think this is... this lockdown, this COVID, I mean, we've mentioned this before. I mean, Christ, Paul Joseph Watson was talking about this before. The Great Reset and COVID and various other things, they all play into each other very, very well. And, you know, I just think we're being had, quite frankly.
We are. I have one more donation here to read out before we round things out here.
Cool.
From a regular donator here, actually. Thanks again. It's HK9410, and he's commenting, hi, Scrump and Trig, still working on the rifle design. Haven't decided whether or not to make it a bullpup. I know the L86 is horrible, but the AUG and the TAR-21 are pretty nice. I like the AUG. I actually have a massive soft spot for the Steyr AUG.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Especially its newer variants.
Me too. It is a good rifle. I have issues with bullpups in that most of them are an absolute nightmare to use in the field. Because, you know, the moment you need to clear a jam, you usually have to dismantle the freaking thing because of the way they're configured. Not always. It doesn't have to be that way. And there is certainly a couple of bullpups that are in my good God, I would love to own list. One of them being the Pancor Jackhammer, but I have a weird fixation for strange guns that only really made it big because of computer games. I will have a Pancor Jackhammer, even if I have to whittle it out myself with you know, I don't know, files. and to those that know me about that, no brass dowel.
Lol, get breast held.
Get breast held. That's a really, really, you've got to know a very unusual shotgun to know that meme. But yes, it's that particular shotgun was. It should have been great, and I don't know why it didn't happen. Well, I do. The American military take too long to freaking make decisions, essentially. But yes.
Oh God, just shout out to Wistia Grenade there in the chat. That is a deep cut. I used to be on their streams back in like 2014, 2015 during the Gamergate stuff. I remember a very ill-fated drunk stream where someone said they could drink Percy Grenade under the table. God, that is a That is, for those of you who remember Whiskey Grenade and Percy and the Deep Lore, I salute you, because that is a life, feels like a lifetime ago now. Holy shit, it's good to see you, Whiskey. That is, oh god, that is, sorry, I'm having 2015 flashbacks.
Ooh.
Oh man. With that though, is there anything else we've forgotten to cover?
No, I think we narrowly avoided me ranting about guns forever. We should do a gun stream actually at some point. We should have
tell you what, no, we'll do a gun stream and we'll have what is it? The world of weapons, what's it called?
Yes, that's a great idea. Yes,
because world of weapons, what is it actually called?
Is it World of Weapons? It might be World of Weapons. Shouldn't
I can't remember what it's called. It's the one on Steam that you got me anyway that's really good.
Yeah.
I can't stream because my connection's awful.
But yeah, no, because that's the whole workings of the guns and everything else. We can bore people with the variations of mechanics. Or not. I don't know. There seems to be a... You know, what do you reckon, chat? Hey, can we do the put one in chat if you want a gun stream? Let's see if that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. World of Guns, that's it.
It is called World of Guns. Yeah.
I thought it was... I had a moment there. I had to see it. I own the game, and I've done, like, a lot of it. I have a lot of points in that game. Yeah, everyone's got a one. Yeah. We'll do... It's just Starzy. Starzy, stop spamming one. Yeah, everybody wants a gun stream. One for Brass Down.
One for Brass Down. Absolutely. We can demonstrate the Brass Down. Yeah, no, that gun needed some extra work on it, but...
World of Weapons is really good. There's some good disassembly stuff. We can totally have that streaming in the background.
Yeah.
I got Rogue at me in Discord now saying Brass Dolls, fuck you, Rogue. good lord. Right, thank you for coming, folks. Thank you for everyone who donated. You've been very generous again. We're always growing here. We're doing very well for not having guests on. We should have some more guests on over the coming weeks.
Cool.
I'm going to try and get Saga on at some point, as everyone tries to, because he brings the numbers. But he's very busy, obviously, with his Tide Pod Eaters.
where is it? Hold on. Before we go, we need that.
I've already posted. It's already on my feed. If you guys go to my posts, if you go to the community tab on my channel, you can see the podcast of the Tide Pod Eaters meme that I made.
I want this. I must have this.
Fine. We'll put it up here as well.
Give me. Poor Sargon.
We will have a World of Weapons stream where we ramble about guns, because that sounds like good fun. That sounds like great fun.
We know a few other gun nerds as well that we can just get on and yeah.
We could do. We can have a little gun nerd stream and cycle people in and out. That'd be good fun. And we could maybe. It's been quite a long stream today, though. We've literally just broken the two-hour mark.
We have, yeah.
We generally like to keep our streams to about an hour and a half to 2 hours. That's generally kind of analytics show that's the maximum that people watch. Most people only actually really watch an hour. But we had a lot to cover here. We had a lot of good stories and a lot of good content. It kind of flowed very naturally. So, yeah, thanks for bearing with us. We're still trying to settle on a regular day for this. I'm actually kind of leaning towards Thursday. Some people say Friday is better. I'm actually thinking of doing both, if we can keep that up. Have a more serious stream on the Thursday, a more fun stream on the Friday, because our single streams a week tend to be quite serious topics. But I think a gun stream at some point would be wonderful. Possibly as soon as next week, if we can fit that in.
I concur. We'll have to have a play around with getting the thing onto the format, but I don't think that would be too difficult.
No. It's literally just like monitor sharing. It's not that difficult to do. We can have it in the little. We can have World of Guns there. It'll work in this format, in this window, I think. As always, link down below to my Discord, link down below to Trigg's Twitter page. I'm still doing Seal of Approval. That's still on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock on Rose of Dawn's channel. And there will be, like I keep reassuring people keep thinking we've fallen out, but we haven't. There will be more Dump of Scrum content at some point on the Shawfat Attacker channel. So, thanks for bearing with us, guys. There it is.
Found it.
That's the before we go. That's the podcast of the Tide Bodies.
Poor soul.
Yes. And we'll see you all next week sometime.
Yeah. Thanks for coming along and the donations. Thank you very much for that. And see you next week.